morning. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. The first thing I have up is a video for you. It's just a short one. It's really cute. If we have that. Uh-oh. If it doesn't work, I'm going to have to act it out. And I'm going to ask for volunteers, so let's hope that happens. Oh, here we go. This is called the Good Shepherd.
С этой стороны, против солнца.
Right? So we're talking about Mother's Day, and we could look at that video and I could say, man, I relate to that shepherd. Only I got a whole lot of sheep and they're jumping all over the place and they're all stuck in the trench. But actually, I relate more to the sheep. And I think more so when it comes to mothering than any other area of my life. It seems like it's the hardest place to hand over to God and leave it with Him. I'm always wanting to take it back, just a little bit. And maybe it's because, you know, there's some stuff you got to do, right? You got to do the laundry, you got to cook the food. Jesus doesn't come down and do that for me anyhow. I wish. So it's a big responsibility raising little humans. And when I was pregnant with Caleb, I was talking to my aunt, who's more like a best friend, and she said to me, so, you feel ready for this? And I was like, are you kidding me? I can't even look after a parked car. And that's a little inside joke between her and I, but because about 20 years before that, she had gone to YWAM, and I was to look after her home and her car. And all I needed to do was start the car about once a month so the battery didn't die. When did I start the car? 11 months later. And the battery, of course, was dead. So lately, I found myself wondering again how the girl who can't look after a parked car ended up in charge of all the things. I mean, really, whose idea was that? Bad idea. So since we moved to Kamloops, and I don't think it's Kamloops' fault, but maybe, it seems like it's been one roller coaster descent after another. And just when I think the ride is over and I can breathe, the ride operator says, just kidding, one more time. And all of this without the community that I had been surrounded with for the early years of raising my children. And without having that community, I just held everything inside. I held on really tight. I'm just going to do it. I can do it all. I can do it by myself. I'm independent, right? I can do it. But I don't need to tell you that you can't do that for very long. And I started to crack. I was burned out. Now, here's the thing about burnout is that it's not just about what we do. It's not the endless laundry, the endless cooking, the rides. That's a part of it, but the rest of it is mental. And I think it has to do with what Pastor Matt was talking about, and that's our design, how God designed us as women, as mothers, to carry that emotional load of our family, of our children's. We carry that. And when we try to do that outside of the Lord, or where we have wounding, maybe not good role models, and those things kind of coincide, we end up burnt out. So I started to notice that I was more emotional, more teary, taking days or even weeks to recover from the smallest upset. I was dissociating, like zoning out for minutes at a time, losing time, forgetting things, like really no memory. Did I do that? I have no memory of doing that, right? Really having to focus on staying present for doing just, especially if something was like, you have muscle memory on it, right? Just check out. I was face down in the ditch. I was full of anxiety, depression, and I was isolated. So into the scene enters the Good Shepherd. On a particularly difficult weekend, here in worship, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, "Humble yourself." And I was undone. I wept as God visited me with visions and began to heal my heart. And then to further unpack that, he highlighted James 4:6 to me. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I started to realize I had no grace for this season. There was no grace. Felt like I was being opposed, and that's not a good place to be. I was in the ditch. So I started to meditate on where I was proud, ways that I thought I knew what I was doing and that I could do it myself. Maybe I felt like I had something to prove, you know, like making up for not being able to look after lost parked cars. Then he started to show me how to humble myself. Repent. So repenting to him, but also repenting to others and asking for their forgiveness. So I'm pretty good at this, actually. This is one of my strengths, is I can repent very well. But the problem is that I always expect my repentance to trigger other people's repentance in response, right? And it doesn't work out that way. And then I am disappointed, I'm more hurt, I feel unseen and alone, and I'm back in the ditch. So if you're waiting for someone else to come along and meet your needs, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be hurt. Even Jesus, he's not just going to magically show up. We need to turn toward him. It doesn't need to be a big movement, but it needs to be some kind of movement. If we're just going to sit on the couch and just wait, he does, but most of the time there's some movement required on our part in this bi-directional relationship we're having with him. Then that brings in the second path to humility, which is worship. A couple of Sundays ago, we sang the song, "Now is the Time to Worship," and it was like the Lord highlighted that word, now. Like it was in all caps, now. Now is the time. So my brain loves short phrases. It loves little things that make me remember, right? I have all kinds of them. So when I'm in the middle of some storm, and the word now is the time to worship pops into my head, I can't necessarily run off and have a half-hour worship session in my bedroom. But I can pause and say, "Lord, I worship you. Even in this painful moment, I worship you." And my heart is anchored and I'm centered on the Lord. And I'm ready. I'm ready to go back to the still waters and drink. So the third path to humility that the Lord highlighted to me was community. A couple of weeks ago, when Pastor Matt was talking about the body of Christ and not being able to be a solo Christian, we need the body to teach us, encourage us, admonish us. And it struck me that we can come to church every Sunday and still be outside a Christian community. I mentioned that when we moved here, I lost that tight-knit community that was around me. Now, they're still there, but they're not here, so. And these were beautiful women who spoke into my life, who spoke God's truth over me. We had a little group we called the Shield of Honor, and it was a time we would get together once a month, and we would choose a woman or two, and we would prophesy over one another. We would seek the Lord for a specific word for the woman, and we would bring a gift of some kind to go with our word. And this shield was a shield of blessing and a shield of truth around us. So there are a few words that have sustained me in this season. I turn to them when I feel overwhelmed, alone, and full of self-doubt. These prophecies were given as gifts from other mamas and dear friends. And so I want to share a few couple with you today and welcome you inside the shield of honor. So if you don't have these words for yourself or you need one in this season and you want to have one of these ones, please open your heart to receive it if the Holy Spirit prompts you to. So the first word is a vision that a friend gave me. She saw me as a child, and I had my dress scooped up like this, like kids do, girls do, when they want to pick things up and put them in their dress. And she said, I was gathering balls off the ground and trying to put them all in my dress and carrying them, but there were too many, and they kept spilling out all over the ground. And Jesus came into the picture, and he started to pick up the balls and gather them to him. And he said, give them to me. They were never yours to carry. The second comes from the same friend in a time of deep healing in my mothering. And she heard the Lord speaking, saying that, she said, and I'll speak it as if when she spoke to me, you are the perfect mother for your children. I chose you for them because you are perfectly made to provide what they will need. The third was a very special word, as it was given by a friend who didn't know me very well. And in the word, she used a childhood nickname that only my family knew. She would only way she could know it was through the Holy Spirit. She said she saw me at a huge party out in a field, and there were many people there, and people were coming, and they were feeding off of me. And she heard the Lord say, come, Leanne, it's time to join the party, little Leanne. The final one I found as I was writing this message, it's a lengthy word, so I won't share it, but it refers to freedom, right relationship with self and others, letting go of expectations, and seeing myself as a treasure. So in closing, I want to leave you with this scripture, Matthew 13, 45 to 46. Heaven's kingdom realm is also like a jewel merchant in search of rare pearls. When he discovered one very precious and exquisite pearl, he immediately gave all he had in exchange for it. Each and every one of you is a precious and exquisite pearl. You are chosen and perfect for those you care for. You were never meant to carry the burdens that you are trying so hard to hold on to. Now is the time to give them to Jesus and join the party. Jesus knows all of your names. Now, in the honor of Shield of Honor, if you would like something to remind you of this truth, I did bring a little gift for you, and there's little pearls off to the side that you can come and help yourself to at the end of the service. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Leanne. Yeah, so if you're wondering what she's pointing at, there's a little bucket here, and there's a little verse reminder and a pearl on the back. Anastasia, why don't you come forward, and we'll hear from you what the Lord has placed on your heart.
Good morning. So, I am not a mother yet, but I am a daughter. And so, when Matt asked me to share this morning, woo! Thank you.
This is not the best.
No, I can hold it.
Is that good?
Yes, and I'll hold it. Thank you. I'm going to hold this. So thank you so much for having me up here today. I'd like to start off with a Bible verse, and it is Luke 1:45. And it says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And in the picture, I have a little necklace that my mom gave me when I was about 14. And at the time, I was like, I don't really want to wear this. It's not really my style. But it was a nice gift that she wanted to give me. And when I started to drive, I hung it from my rearview mirror in my car. And now I just love being able to look at it and be reminded of her and God's promises. So the Bible is full of God's promises to his women. And what if we did just as he said and we believed them? When Mary was just minding her own business, the angel Gabriel stepped out from heaven and makes a promise that changes everything, the birth of our Savior. And then Mary does something equally as miraculous. She believes him. Despite not understanding how it will all work, she chooses to believe. But believing isn't always easy, is it? I grew up being a perfectionist and naturally always wanting to please my mom with everything I did, which I almost accomplished, but I was also a stupid teenager once too. So, as a teenager, I found myself in this constant cycle of wanting to please my mom with everything I did. And when I did, it just felt so good to have her be proud of me, and I wanted to do it more and more. But you see, when a perfectionist just keeps grasping for more and more, it eventually comes to a crash and a burn. And I burned out hard. I eventually found myself not living at home anymore, caught up in the wrong crowd, and the farthest from Jesus that I've ever been in my whole life because I couldn't measure up to this unrealistic standard that I had placed on myself and in turn became expected of me. I thought, if I couldn't bat 100%, I might as well be a nobody. I hit my rock bottom, but even when I was in my deepest valley, you want to know who was right there in an instant to pick me up? Jesus and my mom. I wasn't even speaking to her at the time because I was trying to hide from the person I'd been becoming, embarrassed by my own behavior. But did that matter to her? No. So just like the return of the prodigal son, my mom picked up that phone call so fast and rushed to my rescue. Reflecting back on that moment, I'm reminded of something that I was once told in youth group, which is, you can take a million steps away from God, but all it takes is one to get back. And luckily for me, my mom had the grace in her heart to do the same. And so, now, just like Mary, we can choose to believe in God's promises and who he says we are as mothers and daughters of Christ. And I have a slide here. Thank you. Which is beautiful from Song of Solomon 1:15, accepted from Ephesians 1:16, precious from Isaiah 43:4, free from John 8:36, and chosen from John 15:16. We can rest in being all of these things, which is more than enough for not only our moms, but more importantly, Jesus. So I'd just like to take some time to close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, so much for all the mothers here today. God, you know that every mother-daughter relationship here in this room today, and you know that sometimes they aren't always easy. I pray that you rest your hands upon each mother and daughter and let them soak in your promises. Let them know that they are loved, beautiful, accepted, precious, free, and chosen. And help them to help their unbelief. I pray a word of healing and restoration upon all mother and daughter relationships, and that you lift these beautiful mothers and daughters up and shine your face upon them. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Anastasia. We even averted a potential tragedy with the computer falling off here. Now, I'm a little biased, but I'm going to introduce the most amazing mother here, my wife, Catherine. Actually, she's an awesome mom. And so you're going to finish it off for us, Catherine. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good morning. I feel like there's a theme developing here, just what Matt shared during the worship and what both Leanne and Anastasia have shared. And I hope that what I shared just helps to kind of tie this all together this morning. I think I want to share this because as a mom, I want my kids to know this. And so, yeah, here we go. So as people, we have a common desire to figure out who we are, to belong, to have an identity, and to be known. And God actually has a lot to say about who you are and how incredibly precious you are to him. When I was a child and a young teen, I really struggled to have grace for myself. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. And my voice ends up doing not actually, I can't speak when I get overly emotional, so I might have to pause here and there. I believed things about myself that simply were not true, or maybe they were true, but distorted. I was a very gentle child, and I really tried hard. Sorry. I really tried hard to treat people well, and if I couldn't do that, I'd feel absolutely awful, just awful, and I would feel like I'd failed. But I'm human. We fail. I fail. You fail. We don't get everything right. And unfortunately, this carried over into how I saw God. It skewed how I thought he saw me. There were nagging thoughts that would say, you're not enough. You need to be better. Try harder. God can't love you when you act or think like that. And it was weird because at the same time, I had heard and knew and believed that God loved me, and yet there was this battle in my mind that doubted how far his love could reach. There were thoughts that crept in my mind that said, did God really mean that? Does he really love you that far? And what's interesting is, doesn't that sound really similar to the story of Adam and Eve in the garden with the serpent and his questions? The depth and fullness of God's love didn't sink in until I came to a better understanding of what God thinks of me and who he says I am. It's interesting, Matt mentioned this earlier. As image bearers of God, I think that we reflect many of the wonderful things about God in how he and how we relate to our children. As a mom, the best way that I can describe how I feel about my children is to say that there are pieces of my heart that are walking around outside my body. I am tethered to them, and I celebrate when they're celebrating, and I hurt when they're hurting. My kids have my heart. And this is a reflection about how God feels about us. You have his heart. You have his heart. You are fully known by God. He knows everything about you. There is no event, nothing you have ever done, nothing that has ever been done to you, no thought that has crossed your mind that he doesn't know about. And knowing it all, he loves you. In both Luke 12:7 and Matthew 10:30, it says that he even knows the number of hairs on your head. And I think that two different gospel writers were inspired to write this down because we needed to hear it more than once. He knows you that well. There is nothing that is hidden from him. He's omniscient, which is fancy for all-knowing. I'm guessing that many of us have thoughts go through our mind that say, think, if you really knew me, you wouldn't love me. It's vulnerable to be known. It's one of our biggest desires as people, to be known. But it's also one of our greatest fears. We fear that someone will know us and not love us, which is potentially true of people. We're not perfect. We don't love perfectly. But it's so amazing when someone knows us and loves us as we are. And that's what God's love looks like. God not only fully knows you, he fully loves you too. There are no ifs, no buts, no whens. God's love is not contingent on anything you have or have not done, good or bad. It is not based on anything you will or will not do in the future, good or bad. There is nothing you can do to earn God's love, and there is nothing you can do to destroy his love for you either. He knows you, and he loves you completely. His love is already yours, fully known and fully loved by God. I have a verse from Romans 8:35. This is from the Message. It's a paraphrase version of the Bible. And in Romans 8:35-38, it reads this, to 39. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. I am absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. When we try to disqualify God's love for us based on our own failures or conditions for earning his love by our own efforts and striving, then we actually diminish Jesus' work on the cross. I'm going to say that one more time. When we try to disqualify God's love for us based on our own failures or by the something that we've done to earn it, we diminish Jesus' work on the cross. We're saying, Jesus, what you did on the cross wasn't enough. And this is not to make us feel bad. It's to help us recognize and point out that God's love is complete. What Jesus did on the cross is enough. There's no additions, no deletions or substitutions. You are fully known by God and you're fully loved by him. His love is enough, period. There are places in the Bible that speak of God's love for us. And what I'd like to do for us is to just, we're going to read a few of them and we're going to meditate on them. We'll just take a few minutes to do this. And my prayer is that you would know both in your mind and in your heart that these things are true. So the first one, we're going to look at Psalm 139. Not all of it, just parts of it. But we're going to start with verses 1-4. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know that I am going to, you know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. And then the next one is Psalm 139, verses 5-7. You go before me and follow me. You placed your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. And then Psalm 139, 17 to 18. I love this one. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. I love that. He thinks about us all the time. The final one is from Ephesians 3, 18 to 19. And this one is more of a prayer. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. If we don't know God's love for us, we will look for it in other places. And I believe that those things never quite satisfy. Because actually, as Matt mentioned earlier, we are image bearers of God. He created us, and we're like him. And so there's an incredible peace that comes with knowing and understanding the completeness of God's love for us. You were created for relationship with God and with others. If you ever forget that, a really simple thing to do is just to look at the cross. You were created for relationship with God, and you were created for relationship with others. And he fully knows you, and he fully loves you. When you understand how God loves you, it changes you. It changes how you see yourself. It changed me. It changes how you see other people. It helps you to love both yourself and people better. You are fully known by God. There is no hiding. And he loves you deeply right now as you are. I honestly don't think we can hear this too often. I love hearing my family tell me they love me. It does not get old. So I would love you to take away from today that you are fully known and fully loved. There's a slide with that on it. I would love for you to allow this to sink deep within you, both in your mind and in your heart. And one really simple way to do this, sometimes we're like, well, okay, what's a practical way of doing that? Is to simply start each morning and ask Jesus. When you wake up, say good morning to him and invite him to be part of your day. Ask him to remind you throughout the day how loved and known you are. And I am certain that Jesus will be thrilled that you asked him. He's a gentleman. He's waiting for an invitation.